You know, today I want to talk about a subject really that to all of us, it's a critical subject. It keeps people from possessing all that God has for them in their life. And I'm talking about winning over discouragement. Now, you hear somebody say, well, I don't need that message. Well, you might not need it today, but you may need it tomorrow. And there may be some people here that needs it today. Because we all face discouragement. Man, there's only three people that are faced discouragement, because I heard three amens. Man, you're a lot better than me, because I face discouragement lots of times. Hello. You know, how to deal with discouragement will greatly determine your position and your success in life, naturally and spiritually. You know, I like to, when I speak, I like to speak with that so that it works, helps you both in the natural and both in the spiritual. In fact, I've found that most of the things that help you in the spiritual that you talk about, if you apply the same principles in the natural, they'll make you a success there too. You know, we have to continually guard ourselves against discouragement, because discouragement will come. Now, some people got the idea that the Christian life, you know, you just float through life. You know, my dad used to say, on flowery beds of ease. But that's not so. If you read there, last part of John's gospel, he said, I told you these things because you're going to have trouble in this life. I'm going to paraphrase it in 2019 language. But he said, I've come to help you over those. Amen. Now, you know, Billy Graham said this: the Christian life is not a constant high. I have moments of discouragement. I have to go to God in prayer with tears in my eyes and say, oh, God, help me. You know, discouragement comes to everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care your station in life. I don't care how much you have or don't have. Discouragement comes. And, you know, the Israelites let discouragement keep them out of the promised land. God had promised them that he would deliver them into the promised land. But when they came near the promised land, God told Moses, send some spies over there. And the spies came back, and 10 out of the 12 brought a discouraging report. And because of that, the Israelites became discouraged, didn't think that God could help them, and therefore they never received the promised land. That group didn't anyway. Deuteronomy 1:21. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Look, he has placed the land in front of you. Go and occupy it as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Now, the Old Living Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't even doubt. The Message Bible says, don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. The Voice Bible says, don't be afraid and don't be intimidated. The report of the 10 spies discouraged the hearts of the people, and a whole generation did not receive the benefits of the promised land because they became discouraged. We've come this far, they said, and now here we're ready to go in, and our spies come back and tell us we can't do it. And they became discouraged. We must guard against discouragement if we're going to possess the promises of God. If you're going to be a success in life, period, you have to guard against discouragement. Discouragement is baggage that you don't need to carry around. Actually, if you look at it, discouragement drains you spiritually and physically. It makes you tired. You become mentally and emotionally a basket case. See, allowing discouragement to rule and reign in your life keeps you from reaching your destiny. God has better things for you, but you'll never get there if you yield to discouragement. Turn to your neighbor and say, discouragement. Discouragement. Now look at, you know, look at Hebrews 6, 9, and 10 in the Voice. Now I'm using several different translations today, but the reason I'm doing that is because we get a better understanding sometimes in our 2019 world if we look at it in some different translations. Because so many of the original words in the New Testament Greek, which is an archaic language that doesn't exist today, had multiple meanings and applications. But look at this in the Voice, Hebrews 6. But listen, my friends, we don't mean to discourage you completely with such talks. We are convinced that you are made for better things. I want you to get a hold of that statement. We are made for better things. Because God is not unjust or unfair, He won't overlook the work you've done or the love you've carried to each other in His name while doing His work. You are still doing. I want you to zero in on that portion of that scripture. We are convinced you are made for better things. God made you for better things than you have got right now. There is always more with God than what you have now. You know, I use this illustration all the time, but some of you probably understand it. When we go to grandma's house, my mom's mom, and she loved to cook. Grandma loved to cook, and she'd make lots of food. I mean, there just wouldn't be chicken. There'd be chicken, some ham, and maybe even roast. I know there's always at least two meats. And then there was always, I don't know, three or four different kinds of vegetables, and always mashed potatoes and gravy. Making anybody hungry? But you know, if the bowl started getting, you're passing it around, you know, family style, around a big old table. She had this big old round table, and we all sat around it, you know. And it had one of these deals in the middle, and you could set stuff on it, and you could just spin it around. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever seen any of those kind of farm tables? If you're from farm country, I know you have, because just about every farmhouse had one of those. And so it would start getting empty, and somebody would just take a little portion because the bowl was about empty, and she would say, "Hey, take it all. There's more where that came from." That's the way it is with God. There, I don't care how many blessings you get. I don't care how far you go. There's more. There's always more. But discouragement will keep you from getting the more. I want the more, don't you? We need to kick discouragement out the door and not let it keep us from receiving from God. You know, God is faithful. He will not leave you hanging out to dry, as we might say. Even though you don't see nothing right now, it's on the way. You can confidently expect the blessings of God to show up knocking on your door. But if you let discouragement in and you sit down with discouragement to eat, the blessing is not going to come knocking. You can't be discouraged and believe God at the same time. Discouragement and believing God don't go together. Believing God sees the impossible becoming possible. Discouragement says it can't be done, never has been done, and it won't be done for you. But faith says, I don't care what you're saying, Mr. Devil. The Word of God says that it is possible. And so get out of here with all of your junk, and we are going to victory. Yes. Come on now. I'm preaching better than your amen. Did you realize when a person gets discouraged, they won't do anything? They sit down, oh, poor old me. Come on now. You know, you have to realize that discouragement is from the enemy, from Satan himself. And if he can get you discouraged, then you're not a threat to his kingdom. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it, but man, I'm facing all kinds of obstacles. Hey, that tells me that you're on the right track with God. Because the devil don't mess with people that's not doing anything for God. He leaves them alone. But if you're trying to accomplish something for God, if you're trying to be the best you can be in God and his word, hey, the enemy is going to come and test you. You can't let discouragement in the door. Lock the door on discouragement. Now, I want you to realize that discouragement comes in many different ways to us. You know, discouragement can come to us through the things that we encounter in an everyday life. Come on now. And discouragement can come through other people saying things that gets us off of the path of believing God. You know, unkind words and words against you can undermine you and get you discouraged. If I listened to everything that everybody says about me, I'd go hide under that bench, not even come out. But I'm not going to let what somebody else said control what I do. Because God said I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The Bible says that no weapon formed against me will prosper. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. So I don't care what you say. What you say don't mean nothing. What God says means everything. And I'm going to go with God. But I want you to notice when you go with God, all of a sudden you get encouraged. You get pumped up. But you go with what somebody else is saying about you. I guess I'm a failure. I guess I'll never make it. Oh, me. No. Rise up, get your head up and say, hey, discouragement, get out of here. I am a child of God. And I can't go under for going over. Now, you see, many times when you face a hardship, that's when discouragement wants to come piling in on top of you. And sometimes when your workload is a little bit too much, that's when the enemy really comes with his discouraging thoughts or sends somebody across your path to say, that's never going to happen. Do you realize that Lynette and I had people tell us there's no way that you can change all of those pews out and still hold service. Right, hon? Man, you better watch out. What you'll lose your crowd. Come on. Hey, people say this same kind of things. You know what I did? I said, I don't know how it's going to be done, but we're going to do it. You see, if you believe God and you believe what the Bible says, then it can't be done, don't exist. Because the Bible said in Luke 18:27, if it's impossible with man, it's possible with God. You know, people will try to discourage you from doing stuff. You know, they said, well, now, you know, you better be careful about moving that platform out. Then the television can't get a good shot. I said, I want to ask y'all a question. Do they move second base or the goalposts because they can't get a good shot? No, you can't move second base. Got to stay where it is. Come on now. Well, people's hands raise their hand, praise the Lord, get in the camera shot. Who cares? I'm not trying to, and I want to get the best shot we can get. I want it to look good, but I'm more interested in people receiving from God than I am getting a good camera shot. You know, people will say all kinds of things. Your platform's too big. Well, so what? Yours is too little. Hello. See, I'm talking about just real life. Discouragement comes. And people try to get you discouraged in every way they can. You know, present conditions that come in on us, you know, bring discouragement with them. I was talking to somebody not recently. Said, "Well, you know, man, everything's just messed up." And they start to get. I said, "Wait a minute! Wait a minute! Wait! 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 What does God say about all this?" See, you got to come back. When discouragement comes, you got to come back. What does God say? God said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Come on now. All things. Not just spiritual, all things. You know, actually, discouragement usually comes when we've been disappointed. And I know y'all haven't been disappointed, but I have many times. You know, I like something Charles Stanley said. Disappointment is inevitable, but to become discouraged, there's a choice I make. God would never discourage me. He would always point me to himself to trust him. Therefore, discouragement is from Satan. So just mark it down. If you are in discouragement, then you get out of discouragement by realizing that it's the enemy that's trying to keep you from reaping the promises of God. If you are not discouraged at the moment, wait a while and the enemy will bring something along your path. Now, I'm not trying to be negative, but I'm trying to get you to look at life the way it is. Just because we're born again and spirit filled doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems, trials, tribulations. But the Bible says that we can overcome them all by believing what God said and acting on the word. Thank God I had the privilege of growing up in a man's house. His name was Kenneth Hagin, same as mine. Happened to be my father. He's been gone for since 2003. Many people, when they see the books and stuff, they think that I'm him. But he was one of the most, in the charismatic circles, I guess he was one of the highest looked to ministers that was around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I grew up in his home. And you know, discouragement would come. And, you know, I'm a teenager. I said, "Dad, man, this is bad." He said, "Yeah. But it's going to be all right, son." Enemy thinks he got us on the run. He got another thought coming. And he'd laugh. Now, it was a put-on laugh, but he laughed. See, sometimes you need to learn to laugh at the devil. Laugh at discouragement. Because it will not overcome you unless you allow it to. Come on now. You know, I've faced many, many opportunities with all the circumstances around to get discouraged. I was 35 years old. Well, my dad looked at me because he said, "We're going to start a Bible school." He looked at me and he said, "You do it. You went to Bible school. I didn't. You do it." All I had was theology courses and Bible courses and some psychology and some history and English. I never had any educational courses. People said, "You can't. How are you going to do it?" I said, "I don't know. But God said do it, so we're going to do it." I had people try to tell me, "Well, now you need to have this course, and you need to have this, and you need to have that." And I began to get a little discouraged. And some people that I've known knew all my life, they were good friends of my mom and dad, mentors of my mom and dad. A lot of y'all know Kenneth Hagin, Aretha Hagin. Most of you that at least you saw them personally. How many of you sat under them personally? You've known them personally. Otherwise, you know them from books and videos. Mama, Papa Goodwin, that was their mentors. They were in our house one night. And Lynette will remember this. And they began to minister to me. And they said, what it all boiled down to is the Spirit will keep you alive and keep everybody else alive. And they said, don't let, you got to have this course or you got to have that course. I'm paraphrasing it. But follow the Spirit. And I had done that in my life with my ministry. But now I'm doing something different. And as I began to get a hold of that, I began to realize that discouragement cannot take a hold of you unless you allow it to. When you follow that leading of the Holy Spirit, then there's no room for discouragement. Many of you sitting here today followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that's why you're here. You see, discouragement can come. But you're the one that allows it to stay and dominate your life. Are you the one that kicks it out the door and jumps up and says, I'm not going to allow discouragement to rule my life? A man by the name of David called a man after God's own heart. He faced many challenges and many temptations and many discouragements. But I want you to realize that he always said, my God. Now he talks about it, see? New Living Translation, Psalm 42, 5. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior, my God. I'm deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. See, when you get deeply discouraged, you've got to remember God. Remember where you were and where you are now. You're a long way from where you were. And discouragement will take you back there. But if you'll be encouraged by the word of God and the power of God, it'll take you where you've never been before, to greater heights and greater things. You know, many people give the testimony, well, I followed God, and now look what's happened. But then they say, but I kept believing God, and I did not allow discouragement to deter me from staying where God had me, doing what God had me to do. And now look at me now. Come on now. Many of you that are sitting there in congregation, how many of you can say, well, raise a hand and say, hey, Pastor, just what you said is so true. I am where I am today because I didn't allow discouragement to take me backwards. Discouragement will take you backwards. Believing God and knowing what the Word of God says will take you forward. You know, you got to understand that we live in a world that the devil is the god of this world. It says so, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he's doing everything he can to destroy God. That's why he got kicked out of heaven in the first place. Because he tried to coup against God. He was going to take over God's throne. And God said, who you think you are anyway? Wham. And he got kicked out of heaven, along with a third of the angels that went along with him. You ever notice, I don't care what somebody's trying to do, they can always get somebody to follow them. It may be the craziest thing you ever heard, but the craziest doctrine you ever heard, but somebody will follow them. You know, he kicked him out. He is against God and anything that has to do with God. And he's doing everything he can to destroy you and the things of God. But as far as I'm concerned, God is God and always will be God. I don't care what comes or what goes. I don't care what happens or doesn't happen. God will bring me out. I've been there too many times with my back against the wall and nothing in front of me but look like hopelessness, and discouragement would try to set in. And I said, no, you don't. My God is still the same God that was with those priests when they had the power of God in that Ark of the Covenant, and they put their foot in the water and it rolled back. That same power of God is in me. And I do not allow discouragement to grab a hold of me, but I step out, I put my foot, I'll step out over the aching void of nothingness with nothing under my feet but God and His Word. And I'm going to tell you what, if you will allow yourself to do that, you'll come out on the other side. Things may be bad, and you may have had a bad year, and you may have caused it and brought it on yourself. But if you'll turn to God, God will deliver you. He will set you free. He'll bring you out on the other side, and there's nothing that can stop you. I don't know about you, but I'm helping myself. As my dad used to say, I done preach me happy. And he'd kick that foot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Charlie, we're going to make it. There ain't nothing can stop us. I've sat in his office before and said that. But God put him where he is. He walked through a lot of stuff, but he's there. You've walked through a lot of stuff, but you're there. Pete, you've walked through a lot of stuff, but you're here. Amen. You walked through some stuff. Over here, there's some people. You walked through some stuff. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Keep on walking. Keep on pushing. And you're going to make it to the other side. You're going to see the victory come. You're going to see the breakthrough come. Because you refuse to get discouraged. And you refuse to give up. Hallelujah. God is a good God. And He wants to deliver you. Somebody said, well, you know, I don't see people getting discouraged in the Bible. You don't? Read David. Read about Elijah. I mean, man, that he defeated all the prophets of Baal. He prayed and the rain came. He outran the king's chariot for 14 miles across the valley of Jezreel. And he went back to Jezreel, and the queen said, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And he run off out, sat down under a broom tree, and said, Lord, let me die. I'm the only one still serving you. He didn't want to die. If he had wanted to die, just stay where he was. He'd already been dead. No, he was discouraged, having a pity party. God came in and told him, say, hey, you ain't the only one. Get up and get on and do what I told you to do. And he told him some things to do. Hey, let me tell you, Swatton, you, somebody, the devil telling you, you're the only one that's faced that kind of discouragement. You're the only one that's faced all this stuff. Listen, let me tell you what God's saying to you. You're not the only one. There are a whole bunch that face it. They come through it. And if they came through it, you can come through it. We need to kick discouragement out the door and don't let him in. Hello. Anybody get anything out of this today? Glory to God. I think I talked long enough. How did David constantly overcome? By praising God. And we talk about it all the time. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. Praise him at night. Praise him in the middle of your victory. Praise him in the middle of your defeat. Praise him in the middle of discouragement. Praise him in the middle of your victory. It's praising God and believing his word and never giving up, never quitting. The Apostle Paul was discouraged and he said, Titus got to him and it encouraged him with the words that Titus brought to him. Any of you ever heard of a man by the name of Dr. Norma Vincent Peale? Anybody read his book, Power of Positive Thinking? You know, true story is, you know, he was the pastor of the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. He had sent that manuscript, The Power of Positive Thinking, to publisher after publisher after publisher after publisher. This is a true story. And finally, he threw it in the wastebasket. Nobody would publish it. His wife, Ruth, fished it out and told him, try one more time. And it was published in 1952, and it sold more than 20 million copies in 42 different languages. Discouragement almost cost him that book and cost us that. That book is a powerful book when it comes to your thinking. See, our thinking will either lift us up or take us down. Thinking in line with God's word will bring you into the destiny that God has for you. Thinking opposite of God's word will take you down. I want you to understand that you should never allow discouragement into your life. I didn't say it wouldn't come. I said don't allow it to stay. When you allow it to stay, it will take you down. But if you'll get rid of it and say, I believe God, and I believe what God says, you'll go and you'll find victory. You see, discouragement will come, but it's up to you whether it stays or not. Bow your heads, please. I don't want anybody looking around. But if you happen to be in this place right now, and you say, Pastor, you're talking to me. I'm on the bottom. Discouragement has got me down. I want you to raise your hand right now. Nobody looking around. Just raise your hand and keep it up. Discouragement's got me down. Keep it up. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that the anointing of the Spirit of God will go to each person in this auditorium, each person that is watching on the internet, and lift them up. Give their spirit a boost. And may they never let discouragement rule their life again. Let them know today is their day of release. Today is their day of deliverance. Today, discouragement has to flee and discouragement has to go. But the Lord would say, it's up to you. You can wallow in your pity. You can wallow in your discouragement. Or you can stand up and say, I believe God. I've come this far with God, and I am not going to turn back now, and you will see that the breakthrough will come. But listen, listen, it won't be easy because the enemy will do everything he can to destroy you and to detract you. But if you will follow me and follow my word and pray and ask for my guidance, I will lead you, I will guide you, and the end will be great. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's what the Lord is saying to you that raised your hand, and everybody else, we can take that. Somebody said sometime when the Lord gives a prophecy, who's supposed to take it? Well, especially the people that is needed and anybody else that wants to grab a hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody stand, please. Bow your heads one more time as you stand. If you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want you to know Him before you leave today. If you are in this place, you know what it is to serve God, but you know you're just not where you're supposed to be. You need to rededicate your life. I want to pray for you. If you're here, you need Jesus. If you're here, you need to rededicate your life. I want to see your hand right now because I want to pray for you. Wherever you're at, let me see your hand. You need to rededicate your life. You need Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. I want to pray for you. Wherever you're at, raise your hand right now. Anywhere in the building. Anywhere. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? If you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, I'm going right down the front. I want you to come down here. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you right now. There's some people that didn't raise their hand and need to come. There's some people that should have raised their hand and need to come. So come on, if you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on right now. Don't let the enemy destroy you. Don't let the enemy destroy you. If you're in the balcony, the ushers will help you get down here. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, come on right now. Come on right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Every spiritual need in these lives will be met today. I thank you for salvation, rededication. Father, whatever spiritual need in their life need to be met, it will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. See that man right there? That's Greg. I want you to go with him to a special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth. There are people waiting there to pray with you. Get some books and some literature. That same place on Sunday morning becomes a classroom at 9 o'clock called Turning Point. You say, what in the world's Turning Point? Well, it's just a few classes to get your life turned on to God or back on to God. I'd like to see you there next Sunday morning. Would you just train follow him to that place right now? God bless you. Okay, go ahead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, as I was giving that invitation, Spirit of God began to speak to my heart. There's some of you that are there that need rededication. Some of you that need to accept Christ. I want you to reach your hand toward that screen. And I want you to pray with this congregation. Repeat after me what I say. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe He's the Savior. I believe that He died for my sin. I believe that He arose from the grave. And He sits at your right hand right now. You said in your holy word that if I would believe that in my heart and confess that with my mouth, I would be saved. I believe. You heard me confess. And I thank you now that I'm that new person in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, there's a place there that you can go and let us know about it. Thank you for doing that. We thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Did anybody get anything this morning? Never let discouragement stop you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Connection team, go find our first time guests and take them to that connection room where they can get that gift. Staff, you can go to the door so we can shake hands with the people as they go out. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Where is it? 1,800 on Rhema TV and over 1,100 on Facebook Live today. Hallelujah. Thank y'all for being with us. Praise the Lord. We're here every Sunday and every Sunday night at 6 and every Wednesday night at 7. Praise the Lord. Just come on, be with us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank God. Discouragement has no place in the believer's life, so don't let it in. Don't allow it to dominate you. Amen. We're going to sing a chorus as we're dismissed tonight, 6 o'clock. Be here. Come believing. Come praying. Hey, pray. Continue to pray all week for Winter Bible Seminar starting next Sunday night. Hallelujah. We'll see you Wednesday night at Hour of Power. God bless.
Come on, let's declare.
I know.